Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people, great service since 1928.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk soft and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub, broadcasting to you from the Town Fair Tires studio. So if you just heard there in the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McComb, Dustin Pedroia taken out of the lineup, and Pawtucket is where he's rehabbing right now. Is this thing...
I think it was actually Portland now.
Portland, okay.
Yeah, it was Portland. It was the Sea Dogs. They moved him because I think Pawtucket went on the road.
Oh, okay. So I stand corrected. Either way, he hits yet another snag in this setback, and I know you had some thoughts on this, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I just think at this point, if you're the Red Sox... With Dustin Pedroia, anything you get from this guy is gravy. I think you have to move on. That doesn't mean that you take him off the roster, but you cannot look at this and say, we're waiting for this guy to come back, or this guy's our everyday second baseman. You have to move on without him, and if he comes back, he's going to have to find where he fits in with the team. But you can't build the team reserving some sort of spot for him. And we all root for Dustin Pedroia. There's no question about it, but this is a serious, serious knee injury, and... You're looking at this, it looked fairly innocuous when he first got hurt again in New York back in April. And now here we are almost at the end of May going into June, and they're trying to play him. I mean, his latest stint that he's been on here, he's played multiple days in a row, but it's like you're playing seven innings, you're DHing. It just doesn't seem like he's capable of playing multiple days in a row at second base, which based on last night's game would be his real value. I think he's somebody who could stabilize that infield defensively, which is not the greatest, and that's his value. And if he can't play in the field 3-4 days in a row, you have to move on. I'm sorry, you just do. And anything you get, if he can figure it out, then that's gravy and that's great, and you work him back in. But if I'm the Red Sox, I'm planning the rest of the season, the postseason, like he doesn't exist and he's not available.
Yeah, I think there's two things as a sports fan you never want to feel about a particular player or your team, and that is, well, first and foremost, apathy. And I certainly got that way with the Celtics this season. I got to a point like, I just don't even care about this anymore. Like, they're so detestable, like, whatever. And sadness. Like, I feel bad for fill in the blank, that team, that player. And this is where, to me, this is what we've reached with Dustin Pedroia. Like, this is to the point, dude, like, it's sad. Like, I get it. And part of the reason he got to the point where he got, part of the reason he won the MVP in 08, part of the reason that Dustin Pedroia is a household name in this area and throughout, the nation and for Major League Baseball fans, is because of his tenacity, his grit, his, you know, the reason he's still trying to make a comeback now. But when you have to refurbish your house to put in a floor that makes it easier to walk on, like he had told that to Jerry Remy recently, as part of the, you know, is him trying to come back. Like, dude, it's sad. Like you gotta call it a career so that you're not in a wheelchair in 10 years or on crutches. You know what I mean? Like you got to think of your next 20 to 30 years and the rest of your life. Is it really worth trying to come back and toiling in the minors as part of this rehab when it's just not working, and every few weeks you hit another snag and another setback? You're not going to be able to walk by the time you're 60. It's just, to me, it's reached a point of sad. And I think, and I've been part of this, I readily admit, I've piled on this guy in recent years because I do think that some of his antics in dealing with reporters, and then that thing with the Orioles a few years back where he's saying to Manny Machado, hey, that's not me, and that horrible
that's them, not me,
like throwing the rest of his teammates and John Farrell, even though he's a complete buffoon, like under the bus. Like, dude, you know, you still got to be a teammate here. I didn't like a lot of his antics. There's been too much piling on Dustin Pedroia in recent years. on the one hand, I understand why he's trying to make this comeback, but I think that he's lacking in self-awareness at this point. He's got to walk. He's got to say, like, he's got to have someone from his family, maybe like step in and say, you got to think of your future here down the road when you're an old man. Do you want to be able to walk? Because this is going to be problematic if you keep trying to do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it. And, you know, just from the baseball part of it, too, baseball is such a physically demanding sport. And it's a sport where you have to show up every day. And it's one of those things where his body has betrayed him at this point of his career. And he's not physically capable, I think, of meeting the physical demands of being a baseball player at this point. And I think he just has to accept that. And I think the Red Sox have to accept that, too. You know, it's a delicate dance for the Red Sox because you don't want to publicly look like you're writing the guy off maybe before he's ready to, you know, call it.
Oh, especially when they still have so much money invested in the guy.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, okay, Chavis is playing really well at second, but he still has a lot to learn. Hopefully Brock Holt gets back pretty soon. But if you look at, like, sort of last night and some of their recent struggles with left-handed batters and the fact that Steve Pierce isn't really hitting, there might be games where Michael Chavis has to play first base.
Right.
And so he's at first. So now who's going to play second? Is it going to be Holt? How are you going to do this? Like, they might have to go out and get a Logan Forsyth from the Rangers or Starlin Castro from the Marlins. One of those guys who's a second baseman, who's a right-handed batter, and so that they have a better lineup against lefties, especially with Benintendi not really hitting lefties, which Alex Cora admitted the other day. So that's a little bit of a weakness. It's something Pedroia could help them with, but there's no way at this point that they can count on him. It is foolish and a fool's errand to count on him at this point. And I wish I could say otherwise, but I can't. Anything you get from him, it's just, you know, it's the cherry on top of the sundae. You cannot be expecting him to help you.
You mentioned Benintendi. That's a guy I have egg on my face about right now. I thought going into the season, you know, he was so good in the postseason last year, especially even defensively. And I know he can still be a bit of a liability in the base paths, but I thought this was going to be a big jump for him this year, where you're going to see Benintendi hit between 25 and 30 home runs. I do think that he has that kind of pop. Whew. Holy crap. And recently, he's not been leading off, thankfully.
He got dropped in the lineup.
Yeah, got dropped in the lineup because it was about damn time, because he's been a black hole up there. He, to me, has maybe been the biggest disappointment on this team so far. And what's been obvious, you know, it's been better as of late, but that first month was mostly a disaster. But in terms of the lineup and offensively, he has been the biggest disappointment to me.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, it's not horrible. It's just, to your point, though, the expectations. I mean, when you're talking about a guy 25, 30 home runs, you're basically expecting this guy to be like an all-star, and he's been, you know, sort of a league average type regular or slightly above average type regular there. And this was Alex Cora's big thing, you know, wanting to move Mookie Betts down a little in the lineup, and Benintendi is the leadoff guy, and it hasn't worked. You know, everything worked that Cora did last year. It hasn't worked. You know, Benintendi's an interesting guy. He's still young. There's a lot of potential there. I think we're all, he reminds me of in a lot of ways? Like Bogarts. Like, Bogarts is a really good player, and he's become a really good player. But I think in the beginning, people were like, Bogarts is going to be Manny Machado. Bogarts is going to be Lindor. Bogarts is going to be, like, Nomar. And it's pretty clear at this point of his career, like, that's not who he's going to be. And so for Benintendi, are we at a point where we have to adjust the expectations, where people are like, this guy's going to be Freddie Lynn. You know, this guy's going to be a perennial all-star type of guy. And it's like, no, you know, he might just be, like, a really good left fielder.
What'd you make of last night's loss as they're in Houston? You know, I think this is an important series, just like last weekend was when they were here, but they're in Houston against the Astros. If you look at the stat sheet, it almost doesn't make any sense. The Astros have four hits, but they win the game 4-3. The Red Sox have three solo home runs in the game, but the Sox defense commits three errors that gifted the Astros two runs. It just, on paper, doesn't make sense, but they lose again to Houston. It just, I think it's indicative of what they are this year. They're good, but the Red Sox are certainly not what they were last year. I've had them written off for a while. I think they'll be competitive. What you saw last night, they're kind of a dumb team this year. They really are.
Yeah, certainly.
Undisciplined is maybe a better word.
Yeah, the intangibles are not what they were last year. And again, everything went right for them last year. What's interesting to me, or sort of alarming at this point, is what's happening with Sale, and not his performance. It's been excellent. And last night was okay. You know, the defense hurt him. It wasn't as dominant. He went in last night with four straight starts of 10 or more strikeouts and four or fewer hits allowed. That wasn't last night. He gave up the homer to Mariznick for the Astros. But why can't they win this guy's starts? I mean, he's 1-6, and they're 3-8 as a team in his start. I don't get it. I mean, if you're not going to win Chris Sale's starts, then you're not going to the playoffs.
Right.
And they haven't really won. You know, Price starts today. They haven't really won his starts either. So it's just sort of odd to me that they're unable to produce, perform, whatever you want to say, when you have the ace on the mound. I don't know if that's psychological or or what the deal is, but they did just have not been able to get the job done with him out there. And I feel like in the beginning of the year, a lot of it had to do with him. He was a lot more hittable. But even when he's turned it around here now, it seems like they can't win these games when he gives you a great performance, or even last night when he gives you a pretty good one. They're shooting themselves in the foot with undisciplined defense. So, again, that's one of those signs that for all they talked about in spring training about, you know, it's not turning the page and all this other stuff, sort of making it sound like it could be a continuation of 2018. It's not.
Well, the other thing, too, is where would they be had they not brought up Michael Chavis? Like,
I know.
They'd be screwed without this kid. And, you know, you got to, I think, take this with a little bit of a grain of salt, too. I think it's fair to say that, considering you got popped 90 games last year for PED. So, hey, he's helping right now, and hopefully it continues to work out that way. But, boy, they would be sunk without him. And what's that really say about them as a team? Like, you bring up this rookie, and he's helped the offense, and he's given them a spark. And Rafael Devers have been good, too, but... Well, without Chavis, they would be a borderline disaster.
Yeah, he's been a huge boon to them. I mean, filling in for Pedroia, he botched that rundown last night, obviously. But what he's given them is a right-handed bat and some pop in the lineup and some power. I think that they needed that. And also, just I think he keeps it fresh, for lack of a better term. You know, he sort of has that wide-eyed excitement and innocence of somebody who's in the big leagues for the first time. And I think that the Red Sox team had become a little bit staid and a little bit jaded about sort of the experience maybe of the regular season. And for this kid, everything's new. And I think they needed that. I've heard Maz talk about this, that you do need a balance in the clubhouse of veterans, guys who've been there, done it, seen it, and also young guys who just have that enthusiasm and that passion, and it's all new to them and it's exciting, and that sort of makes it exciting for other guys on the team.
So I haven't been to a game this year at Fenway because I typically try to wait until like actual summer because I don't want to freeze my ass off in that place. But I'll tell you, Chris, I don't know how you feel. Just not even, maybe it's a World Series hangover for a lot of people, and maybe people are just, you know, and rightfully so, you know, locked in on the Bruins, still mad about the Celtics. I don't know, but I do think that there is a distinct lack of buzz for that team right now in terms of talking points, people talking about them. It just doesn't feel like there's much. And that's baseball as a whole, too. It just feels like
it's been a weird year.
It just feels like the whole thing is, I don't know, kind of people look at baseball and they're like, yeah, it's just like a collective shrug, you know?
Yeah, like, so like I'll ask you, and like, you know, I'm putting you on the spot a little bit here, but just, you know, like, who leads the major leagues in batting average? Something, you know, 12-year-old Jim would have known off the top of his head.
Right. I don't know, Yelich?
Jorge Polanco.
Who?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, he's from Minnesota. He's the shortstop. But I think that's part of it. And that's sort of the point I'm trying to make. Like, you know, I feel like the players, the names are not as recognizable. You don't necessarily connect. You know, it's like Josh Bell in Pittsburgh's having a great year. And it's like, I could tell Josh Bell from George Bell. You know?
Well, it's funny you mentioned the Twins, too. They were talking about it on the broadcast. Like, oh, you know, he put up another 10 spot last night. And I'm thinking about, like, name a twin. Like,
yeah, you know. Max Kepler, you know. But it's like, do you know the Twins through 50 games hit the second most home runs in Major League history through 50 games?
You know, I heard Jones talk about that in the Dong Report last night, so I did know that. But only because I happened to tune in after the Red Sox lost.
But it's like, again, 12-year-old Jim Murray going to his card shows.
I would know that stuff. Like, and I think, you know, it's one of the things I felt a long time about baseball, Chris. It's a sport for, like, little kids and old people. Like, those are the people that know those stats and those kind of things, like, immediately. And there's obviously real seam heads, Maz and, you know, Matt McCarthy, who does the Hardcore Baseball
McCarthy
podcast.
Does a good job.
But me, at this point, it's without question my fourth sport. It's like, and there's a precipitous drop between 1, 2, 3, and then baseball. Like,
that's
just
interesting.
It is. It's just the way it is now.
See, 12-year-old Jim Murray.
Like, let's go.
That wants to say, Mr. Clemens, please sign my card, would be so disappointed in you.
And Roger Clemens just broke my young, fat heart. Tell this story again real quickly. He was my favorite athlete growing up. How couldn't he be? If you were, you know, my age at that time, born in 76, you're way into baseball cards like everyone was in the 80s. You go to all those creepy baseball card shows, which were, I know, now that I think about it, they were just probably just a gathering for, like, molesters trying to steal kids. If you think of how many baseball card shops popped up in this area and throughout the nation in the 80s. Either way, go to one of those baseball card shows. It's like 88, and it's Canseco, and it's Clemens, and Mike Greenwald, like all these superstars there.
Kirby
and
Puckett.
Yeah, you pay the money to stand in line like every other loser, like, oh, we signed my baseball. And I just wanted to get some sort of recognition from the guy that I was a super fan. I asked him like an innocuous question. He's there with his hot wife, and he didn't even look up. Just a complete a-hole. I remember feeling like it broke my heart, like Ralph Wiggum when he's like, you choo choo choo. Nope, not at all. I don't like you at all, Ralph. Like, that's how I felt. And it, like, ever since then, I turned on Roger Clemens. Oh, boy. Don't ever meet your heroes. That's one of the great life lessons.
Oh, totally. So that is so true. By the way, it is. It's unfortunate, but it's so true. I'll be honest. Like, you know, I'm a journalist. Obviously, I'm objective here. But it's like I even sort of felt that way this year about Kyrie Irving. It's like never meet your heroes. Like literally my favorite player in the NBA, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah, no, it's the worst thing. And even when I used to work in like rock radio, they go to the meet and creeps, or you have to like host them. All the people that win these things, like you get to meet the band and get autographs. Chris Cornell, who unfortunately has passed away, met him. Boy, was he a dick! It was just like, oh man, like. So yeah, you know, the people that you look up to, your superstars, your athletes, you never want to meet them. Trust me, you never ever want to meet them. They're just going to disappoint you.
I know we're up against it, and maybe you can do this when we come back. But don't you have a story about, you know, some rock star hitting on your girlfriend?
Well, no. I mean, if we're going way, way back, there was a guy that was so Melissa Auf-Damar, who was the bassist that used to be in Hole. She had her own band in the early 2000s. And her guitarist ended up like taking my girlfriend at the time. Yeah, it was a weird time, man. yeah, what can you say? The early 2000s, working in rock. Hey, crazy things happen behind the scenes. All right, we're up against it here. We'll be back after this. Gasper Murray, 98.5 Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, if you can't win it wearing skates, it's okay in the suit. You know, obviously as a player, that's what you want to do. You want to win a Stanley Cup, and we had a couple opportunities. Unfortunately, we fell short. So you learn from those experiences, and hopefully, you know, we can take some of that experience and apply it in the jobs that we have now.
That's the big man, Cam Neely, speaking ahead of the Stanley Cup Final, which will finally get underway on Monday night at TD Garden as they host the St. Louis Blues in Game 1. He's still, look, unfortunately, you know, a championship eluded him as a player, and I think he's one of the all-time greats, not just as a Bruin, but to me, like, oh man, I loved him, and how couldn't you if you were a hockey fan in the late 80s, early 90s, and unfortunately had his career shortened. So, yeah, I can understand being a little bit bummed that you never won it as a player, but I think that, and you see him when he cheered, you know, when
he's intense.
When they flash it to, you know, the ninth floor where he's up there watching it with the rest of the executives and Don Sweeney, like, he gets into it. He's pumped. It means a lot to him that
they
win
this.
He gives,
like, you know, the death stare, like he's staring down Al Samuelson, you know, or Claude Lemieux. Oh, yeah. He's intense, man.
Look, it's not like he does those interviews anymore, but when he's been in there with Felgren Maz and the few times we've been in there, it's a...
Oh, he's, other than Belichick, like people I've interviewed, like there were a couple of times when I thought like he was going to swing at me.
That's
like,
an intimidating man.
He is an intimidating guy. And when he doesn't like a question, it's written all over his face. And it's like that same look he gave before he dropped the gloves, man. I mean, nice guy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say he's not nice. But like when it's something he doesn't like, he is an intense human being.
Yeah, you can tell it's a short wick on Cam
Neely.
Yes,
correct.
Also want to remind you to kick off the Stanley Cup Final, the Boston Bruins and NHL hosting a free outdoor concert and viewing party at Boston City Hall Plaza on Monday night. It's presented locally by Connection. The event is going to open at 4:30 in the afternoon with musical performances at 6 p.m. Fans can stay to watch the Bruins and Blues game on video screens and enjoy food truck offerings, beer and wine. You can learn more at bostonbruins.com/Stanley Cup Final Party. And also want to remind you that despite it, it's going to be Memorial Day on Monday. Felgren Maz, myself included, will be working. We will be down on as part of the Fan Fest on Canal Street, which they've been closing off.
Yeah,
we're going to be out there doing the show from 2 to 7. Extra hour of Felgren Maz on Monday.
Canal Street, the Sunset Boulevard of Boston.
Don't try convincing Kyrie or any Anthony Davis, any other superstar that, because once they get there, they're written. And no offense to any of the business down there.
Oh,
great,
tremendous! I've gone there for many years.
Certainly no Hyde. In Los Angeles, the Boston nightlife and L.A. and New York nightlife, a lot different than how it is here. But yeah, we'll be there from 2 to 7, so come on by. We're at Boston Sports Grill is where we're going to get the show from.
It should be good.
And hopefully we'll be outside. It's supposed to be a nice day, too. You know, any feelings about this thing? Like, what is your prediction? Do you want to give a prediction? Because I've been saying, I just said to Matt McCarthy's lovely girlfriend who was in here, I think it's Bruins, but Bruins in 7. I understand a lot of the confidence exuding from fans around here, Bruins fans, like, it's going to be the Bruins in a sweep. It's going to be the Bruins in 5. The Blues are legit. And I think that to use the cliche of they're battle-tested, but I think that they are. If you consider their competition and the teams that they faced in their run from Winnipeg, who is big and extremely talented.
Good team.
To Dallas, who they go seven games with and go to double overtime in game seven of that series. And then San Jose, even though they were beaten down by the end of it, those are three legit teams that they've played together.
No, no question about it. And I think probably in a lot of cases, or most cases, three teams where the other team was favored to take them down. And so they've done that throughout the playoffs. You've seen Jaden Schwartz, who did not have a great regular season for them. He has 12 goals in the postseason, had 11 in the regular season. The young kid, Robert Thomas, I think, has given them a little jump. But when I look at, I like the Bruins in this because I feel like, again, I go back to what Cassidy said. The teams are very similar, but I think the Bruins have more of a margin for error. And this goes back to the legacy discussion we had earlier in the show about Bergeron and Marchand. Like, when I look at those two guys, those are elite skilled guys. And I look at St. Louis and I say they have one of those guys, and it's Tarasenko.
Yeah, that's really it. Like, he's the one guy I think that you would be afraid of.
And Pasternak's an elite skill. So the whole perfection line versus sort of Tarasenko.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to give a game? You like the Bruins, but how many games?
I like the Bruins. I'm going to say Bruins in six, just because I'm hoping to actually make it to St. Louis and I get to go to game six.
Frank the Tank, what do you think of this coming series?
Well, I think, first off, wow, you guys' childhood heroes must have been real douchebags. I mean, I met my childhood hero, and he couldn't have been the nicest one to me and my dad, and it was Andre Tippett. I mean, I idolized the guy, you know, growing up, and I mean, he was such a nice guy. I was just a little kid when I met him and picked me up, took pictures with me. He was just a great, great guy. But look, in terms of this series, like, I know Tony thinks it's going to be a trap to pull, and, you know, it would have been better with San Jose. I really think people are underselling what this series is going to be. I think this is going to be an absolutely intense series. It's going to be hard hitting. I think both teams are going to want to establish themselves in a physical sense, more St. Louis than the Bruins. But if the Bruins want to win this series, they've got to expose the St. Louis defensemen who are big, so you got to keep your head on a swivel. But if you move the puck around and, you know, move it around in their end and keep them moving and keep them guessing, the Bruins, I think they can win this series, not easily. To me, it's going to go the distance, and I think it's going to be more of a scoring series than people are giving it credit for.
Frank, are you going to any of the games? Did you get tickets?
No, I. Back in 2011, I went to every home game during the playoffs and flat out refused any ticket that anyone was offering me to the Stanley Cup Final games. I wanted to watch it at home. I wanted to get drunk for free, and that's what I'm planning on. I've watched every game this year at home so that I can drink my face off and not have to worry of driving anywhere. The only thing I just can't wait for, to tell you the truth. I just can't wait to shave off this beard and get a haircut, man, because this is really getting annoying.
When it starts to feel and Frank, thanks for the call, like the hair down below, that's where you're like, I got to get this thing off my face. I've grown mine out before, and it's like it gets to a point like, this is gross. And even when I wash it, it just feels disgusting. It's the worst. But I feel you on that, Frank. It's one of the reasons that we get along. I can't watch these games in public. Granted, I am. Like, I'm lucky enough, I'm going to go to game one. I'm going to use a pass, and then, you know, the Felger and Mad Show is going to be out there in St. Louis, so we'll go to 3 and 4. But, I can't drink during them, because if I drink during them, Chris, it's a problem. Like, I drank during game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, which was real competitive, at least early. And I was like, oh, the speed is a problem here for the Bruins that the Hurricanes are showing here. And my friend's like, this is why I hate watching sports with you, because I'm like, I'm a nervous wreck. Like, it's not.
You're actually kind of like Drake.
Yeah, you've watched Pats games with me before.
I have. Ooh, what an experience that was.
Yeah, it's awful.
And if it's not going well, that Cam Neely death stare of commentary, no matter how like lighthearted, you get like silence and the Cam Neely death stare from Jim if his team is losing.
Got no business watching sports in public. I really don't, so I understand where Frank is coming from. You wanted to weigh in on anything that we've touched on the show here, 617-779-0985. I was saying earlier how Roger Clemens broke my heart, my young fat heart, at a baseball card show in 1988. On the other hand, Mike Greenwell couldn't have been nicer. One of the nicest professional athletes I've ever met. And so he turned things around at that card show. But boy, people weighing in fast and furious on Roger Clemens. Bit of an a-hole during his time here and elsewhere. This guy, Saigon Jim, checking in on Twitter saying, my father owned a flooring company in Boston in the 80s. They were putting carpet in Clemens' apartment. When he came home, they asked for an autograph and were told, quote, No, you're here for the carpet. Get the F out of my house. End quote. Can't say I'm surprised there. My interaction with Roger Clemens when I was young and other stories that I've heard. But back after this, there's something I wanted to touch on. What do you think, Chris? I want you to think on this as we go to the headlines here with Tim McCone, of the possibility of Boston hosting the NFL draft in 2022. It sounds like that could be on the table. We'll get to that, and whether or not that would actually be a good thing or a bad thing for the city, right after this here, Gasper Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
They're basically saving a spot for a bigger city. And some of the ones that have been mentioned to me, Boston potentially with the Patriots hosting, that would be one. Washington, D.C. with the Redskins. Maybe Houston with the Texans, although usually these are reserved for teams that do not host Super Bowls. But figure that 2020 spot is saved for one of the bigger NFL cities.
All right, so that's NFL Network's Ian Rappaport earlier this week. At these NFL owners' meetings, which, by the way, thankfully, they tabled the overtime change.
Oh, well, we're the Chiefs. Well, we didn't get a chance to win the game, too. Well, our Fraggle Rock-haired quarterback should have a chance. He's the league MVP. Well,
boy, tough. Make a stop on defense.
I agree with you. And, man, listening to Felger talk about it was like just peak Felger trolling. Just like a completely disingenuous opinion that he doesn't believe at all.
And that's why I called him on it. I said, be transparent. It's just because you don't like the Patriots. You're sick of it. Like, those people that want it, they want the change. They want it needs to be fair. You're just sick of the Patriots. You're sick of it. That's what it is. Period. End of story. So that's what it is. So thankfully that didn't change. But they named some of the cities coming up for the NFL draft. Next is Vegas. And then there's a hole. I believe it's 2022. Either way, there's one that they didn't name, and that's Ian Rappaport saying that it could be Boston. Would you be for this? I heard Beadle and Zoe talking about this. This is those that would rail against this, an event like this, and I know the reasons they would. It's the not in my backyard type thing. Like, there's too much traffic already. I don't know how we'd be able to do it. It's what caused that F1 race that was supposed to go through Selfie
that
to get canceled.
Cool.
Chris. Yeah. Oh, it would have been great. It's what squashed the Olympics from ever coming here.
I didn't want. I've covered the Olympics. There's no way we couldn't handle it.
Okay, but this obviously isn't on the level of Olympics, but it's pretty close to what that F1 thing would have been. It's something.
Is it F1 or IndyCar?
It was Indy F1, whatever. Yeah, the Euro cars.
I think it was Indy.
The ones that the hillbillies don't drive. you know exactly what I mean by that. Just 3 hours of taking lefts. It's F1. Those cars that actually take skill to drive. Anyway. An event like this, could Boston handle it? Because this is something that a world-class city gets. And when we cancel these type events, like that race through Southie, like everyone getting all pissed off about the thought of the Olympics coming here, that to me shows me that for all the great things about Boston, it's clean, it's healthy.
Yes.
I think we're affluent, we're smart, we're employed. Yeah. There's a lot of great things here. Yeah. It's walkable. I love walking. Like, I love a walkable city. I think that's one of the best attributes of Boston.
Great museums.
Is it world-class? Not compared to some of these other cities like New York and LA and these bigger cities that can hold events like this. So I would be for it. And as much as I hate traffic and it gets worse by the day, even if this meant more traffic, I would love the NFL draft here. I really would.
Yeah, I would be for it. I'm okay with it. It's just sort of I worry a little bit about what's the weather going to be like, you know, April 25th.
It sucked in Nashville for this one.
It bad?
It rained like the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. As long as they don't have an annoying country band playing in the background between every pick, I think
McCone
we're fine.
McCone would love that.
Oh, man. That Nashville. And country music, some of it I like. It's I don't have a problem with it, right? But I'm just saying, that broadcast, I mean, you could tell Rich Eisen wanted to run up and strangle that guy with the guitar because you couldn't hear anything between every pick. So, yeah, this could be kind of cool. But let me say this, though. How do you think the Revolution fans are going to feel if the Crafts get the NFL draft here before there's even a glimmer of a stadium for the Revs?
Yeah. Oh, no.
How's that going to play?
I would be pissed. I would be super pissed if I was a Revs fan. And because that's what people have been clamoring for. Even I would love for them to have a stadium.
Me too.
That would
Because I'd like to go to some of the games.
Yeah, same here. No, they would have every right to be pissed if the draft ended up happening here before the Revs even got a stadium, you know, that had easier access to public transportation or could be in South Boston or somewhere like that.
I would say this too. I'm fine with this, but I don't think we need the NFL draft to be like a world class city. And I also think that once this is 2022, I don't know what they've given away here. I know Vegas is getting one, right? Do you have the list there of NFL draft cities? While you're looking that up, I'm saying my theory really is that once they build that sort of NFL center that's going to be next to the new stadium in Inglewood, that the Rams are building that the Chargers will also inhabit, I think they're just going to move it there, and it's going to be there every year. I really do. I don't think this is like permanent.
So it's Vegas next year. Cleveland in 2021. Like, Cleveland doesn't deserve this. This is all part of like, you know, this is going to be Cleveland's year because they're stacked. Like, let's wait and see. It's a lot of big personalities there. Yeah, so it's 2022 where it's to be determined. And then 2023 in Kansas City, which is basically like St. Louis. Trust me on that. If you haven't been, it's essentially like St. Louis. Great barbecue, so, but not a whole hell of a lot else.
So when you see,
we should have this.
When you see some of the cities that have hosted this, though, do they scream world class?
Hell no. Cleveland and Kansas City are rat holes.
So, I mean, I think, you know, I think Cleveland's a little underrated. But, I mean, still, I would say I don't think we – I'm okay with it. But if we don't get it, it's not the end of the world. It's not like it's not a world-class situation or world-class – and can you imagine these NFL draft prospects, just to tie it all back to Kyrie and Hyde and that thing, showing up here to hang out. Well, you know, hey, biggest moment of my life. I want to go party. Like, all right, this sounds – sounds good.
April. Hoogans,
here we come.
It's April 25th. Why is it 30? And misting. Like, isn't it supposed to be spring?
Yeah,
F you. Get out of here. We didn't want you here in the first place. That traffic sucks. Like, yeah, why can't I go anywhere without... I look at Google Maps. Why is everything bright red? And it says it's going to take me 40 minutes to go 5 miles. Yeah, welcome to Boston, everyone. I'm for it. I want more buzz for the city. I don't know how you feel about it, just as an aside. I'm pumped for that casino to open. As dangerous as that might be.
I don't really care either way, to be
honest. There'll be fancy restaurants and nightclubs and places for you to go in there.
It sort of looks out of place. Looks like it was dropped down from outer space. We'll see. And I just think, like, there's a lot of people. I'm trying to think, I want to phrase this correctly. I don't think deep down, even though it's been legislated that this is legal and allowed, deep down, I don't think there's a lot of people in Boston or Massachusetts that really want this. I don't think it fits sort of our regional sensibility. I think it's kind of people are pretending they're okay with this, and they're not.
I am. I can't wait. There's going to be great restaurants, and if I ever get that itch, this is where it's going to get real interesting.
Okay.
So if you've met me and you've seen this, most of my right arm, my right sleeve that I have that's tattooed, is mostly an homage to my degenerate gambling grandfather, who is long past, James Barrasso, because I have that gambling bet thing in my blood. My grandfather used to, when he long retired, used to park cars as a side job, like post-retirement at Suffolk Downs. And it wasn't because he wanted to work. It's because he wanted to be close to the action. And I have that itch. So it'll be interesting, Chris, because sometimes I'm a bit of an insomniac and don't want to, and I'm up late. At 2 in the morning, what's going to say? Who am I to say when I'm like, 10 miles away from the place? I can just hop in an Uber and say, why wouldn't I sit at a poker table until 7 in the morning?
Oh, boy, that's a bad idea.
So we'll see.
This is bad. Yeah. Ooh, this is bad, bad, bad.
Well, we'll see. It's all going to play out.
And then roll into Felger and Maz the next day?
I got nothing left. I've lost it all. No, it ain't going to be like that. I just have to, keep it in check as well.
When they crank up those studio lights for you?
Yeah.
After you've been out till 7 a.m.?
Can't see. they'll fix the lights, and I still got to wear their sunglasses because I haven't slept, and I've lost everything playing.
They'll have to put up that test pattern when a grumpy, cranky Jim Murray strangles Felger, like, on the air. Just, that test pattern that goes, we're having technical difficulties right now.
To your calls, Rocco and Saugus. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello.
Hey, what's up? I'm for the casino too, man. I'm from East Somerville, so bring it. Listen, I want to talk about Klay Thompson for a little bit. Listen, I'm a huge Klay Thompson fan. So it's like, I feel like he got snubbed personally. I mean, he didn't even make the third NBA All-Team. I mean, I would put him, before Kyrie and Kemba, and I want to say maybe even Westbrook. But the whole thing you guys were talking earlier this week about, Curry getting smoked by Kyrie in the finals, that's true. Chris, what does Steve Kerr do the next year in the finals? He put Klay Thompson on Kyrie, and Kyrie was MIA in those finals. Honestly, Kyrie hasn't even been the same player since those finals, man. And listen, Klay Thompson, what he has to do, cover Harden, Mitchell, Westbrook, Lillard, Kyrie. He just takes the W, he takes your girlfriend, he takes your basketball soul from you. And for some reason, people in the NBA don't really, respect him. And I the only thing I want him to do is just go to the Lakers next year and win a chip with LeBron. Thanks, guys. Have a great Saturday.
Thanks, Rocco.
Yeah, passionate about Klay. I like Klay Thompson a lot. I do think he's, he's the guy that sacrifices sort of the most there in Golden State, and I think he's underappreciated and under-recognized, and he is their best, I think, pure two-way player. Look, Draymond can affect the game in a lot of different ways. I think he's a better defender than Klay, but I don't think he's as consistent offensively, and they rely on Klay Thompson's offense. I thought it was a snub. I thought he should have been on that team. I would put him above Kemba Walker. But, you know, I think the real issue there moving forward for the Players Association, the MBPA, is that they have to decide and figure out, do they want a CBA where what guys can make is tied to media voting? Because my sense is they do not.
Go to Greg in Portland, Oregon, checking in. Wants to talk about the NFL draft in Boston. Hey, Greg.
Hey, let me get you off the speaker before you hang up on me.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Good phone.
Could be worse than the lawnmower guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I listen to you guys a lot of Saturday mornings, and I haven't called in for a long, long time. No need. I just like listening to you. But Boston's a world-class city. What do you want to be like L.A. for, first of all? And secondly, you got to live out here in the provinces like I do. I mean, you got universities, colleges. You're walkable, which is a great thing. Good food, great sports. You're a world-class city, whether you get the NFL draft or not. And, you know, don't put yourself down. You know, it's just it's a great town, great city. I haven't been there for quite a while, but I enjoy it. And I'm a fan of the Bruins. And, you know, you guys have got it good.
Yeah, oh, no doubt about that, Greg. And thank you very much for the compliments and for listening like 3,000 miles away.
That's pretty cool.
I'm insatiable when it comes to, like, having stuff to do. I just want the options. And I think the more stuff that you bring, it opens up the city in terms of having other things to do. So,
I mean, obviously,
I'm greedy.
Obviously, we like it here. We live here. I think a lot of what we were talking about, though, is if you're trying to attract, you know, talent in the comparison of sort of what's going on if you're an NBA player or a young athlete and some of the things that might appeal to them. So, you know, it's a little bit different.
All right, we have one segment to go. Five questions for Chris Kasper. We have nothing to do with sports. We will get to that right after this here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is Kasper and Maroon.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I got five questions for Chris Kasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wild.
All right, so we wrap up the show each and every week, as long as we get the time. Five questions for Chris Kasper. Got nothing to do with sports here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. Ready to go, Chris?
Let's do it.
Question number one. With Memorial Day upon us, do you, Chris Kasper, have a favorite summer holiday?
Ooh, that's a good question.
4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial
Day. I think Labor Day is my favorite. Yeah, I'm just a big, like, fall fan, and it sort of feels like the last sort of gasp of summer. Even though I normally have to work, you know, the golf tournament down in Norton, I would say Labor Day.
They still stick you with that? Man. mine used to be 4th of July, but now I feel like I'm, like, I don't know, worried about having to work the next day or around that day, so that doesn't really matter anymore. Yeah, I'm with Labor Day with you for this. I like the fall. The fall's the best
season. Yeah, the fall's the best.
Football's right around the corner. It's Labor Day.
And now Labor Day is racked with, like, college football games, which is tremendous for me.
Question number two, Uber making some changes to their Uber Black and Uber SUV service, including the ability to tell your driver what your optimal car temperature is, Chris, whether you have luggage or if you need help loading into the car. And an option that allows you to choose either quiet, preferred, or happy to chat in the ride preferences section. If you Uber, do you ride in silence or do you make small talk?
I actually make small talk. I'm a big, like, I'll talk to the... I just sort of feel bad. Like, you're riding in somebody's car. I don't want to treat them, you know, like they're just sort of...
slave labor almost?
Yeah. Like, we're two human beings. You know, you're providing a service. And so I end up chatting. Now, sometimes I end up regretting it. But I'll tell you, most of the times, the interactions have been really, really good.
Now, do the drivers usually start this? Is it with, why'd you write that column about
No, most of the time, the drivers have no idea who I am, which is great. It's a lot of my Ubers are going to the airport, so it's just, you know, where are you going? You know, I just say I'm going on a business trip, and people are really nice. I mean, I find it makes the ride go by faster, too. It's a little dangerous, I'm not going to lie, and I know it's not your thing, Jim, but it's just easier for me to have the human interaction.
Music on. Please don't talk.
I knew it.
You kidding? When I heard this the other day, I was like, well, I guess I'm going to order Uber Blacks from now on. Because if that's what the option is and I can have quiet preferred, sign me up. Question number three. When you read stories of people dying while trying to take a selfie, which I feel like I read about almost every other day now, Chris, do you, Chris Kasper, have empathy? Do you feel bad or do you say, well, that's Darwinism?
No, I have empathy because I just, I always put myself in that person's shoes and I'm like, man, ah, geez, it's so easy. Like, life is so fragile. But on the other hand, I'm like, was it really worth that selfie? I go with empathy because I'm an empathetic person by nature, unlike you.
You're the better of us, without any question, Chris, because I see these stories and I have no shame in saying I snicker. You need the likes that bad. Oh, they need to know how hot I am. That's Darwinism. Question number four. A company called Organic Basics out of Denmark now makes a pair of underwear you can wear for weeks without washing, and they supposedly stay clean. Chris, are you for or against the Organic Basics underwear?
I'm against. I'm against.
Of course you are.
As somebody who might, you know, depending, like today after this, I think I'm going to go for a nice bike ride with the wife. I definitely will be showering again and changing. And you're talking about somebody who packs an emergency pair of underwear on every trip he takes.
I would be for this. There's a reason I've bought black underwear for almost 20 years now. So I couldn't wear whites if I wanted to. So I would be for this. If these things clean themselves
no
somehow.
Way. They do not,
via
Jim.
Science, I'm into it.
I also bring like detergent. Like I have actually washed my underwear like in the sink of the hotel. Like I will, no. It's all,
someone else has to use that sink after you? You have empathy.
I'm going to say, not only this, I want it to all be clean on the way back.
Oh.
In the suitcase.
Well, Fancy. Final question. Is there any random life tip that you would give people? If so, what would it be?
Oh, you always put me on the spot with these ones.
Yeah.
Random life tip? Well, here's one that I gave to you the other day. People don't know this. You're booking a flight. You're not sure you're going to go. You're not going to go. Book that flight. You have 24 hours to cancel under the Consumer Flight
Protection
Act.
Protection Act or whatever
yes,
it is.
Whatever it is. You have 24 hours to cancel that flight. Free of charge. I find that tip to be very useful.
Yeah, had I known, I would not be flying back Tuesday morning, the ass crack of dawn, to Detroit, and from Detroit eventually to Boston. Can't wait for that. I wish I had that tip before. Mine would be keep trying new things. If you find something that sticks, makes hours go by in what feels like minutes, do more of that thing. Who knows what it'll lead to.
That sounds like a fortune cookie, but it's good advice.
That will do it for us here this Saturday. We thank producer Tucker Silva, Tim McCone, who chimed in and did the Hub headlines, and always a pleasure to see you, Chris.
Good. By the way, just quickly, I thought your advice was going to be if it doesn't work out in your place of work, make sure you take the most pungent food you can find and stick it in the ceiling.
Yeah, well, I was a bridge burner, and that is... not gone well. Another reminder, Felger and Maz, myself included, 2 to 7 live from the Bruins Fan Fest at Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. 2 to 7 again ahead of Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. We have Marshall Hook and Ted Johnson coming up next here. How long are you guys on for? What are you starting with? What's
4 hours, right up until 6 o'clock. Ted Johnson and I, known in these parts as serious hockey fans, so of course we're going to begin with that. But we're also going to take some... I'm coming in with notes. Look at this. Pages of notes as I have gone through team by team exactly everything that's happened in the playoffs since 2001. So we're going to take a moment to kind of appreciate exactly the run we've been on with some deep dive numbers.
And I've mentioned this to you before, Ted, and I haven't seen you in a while. Looking jacked as always.
I appreciate that, buddy.
I mentioned earlier, and so this is where I'm going to contradict myself, don't meet your heroes, because I met Roger Clemens, and he like broke my heart as a fat little sports fan in 1988. You would not remember this. But after the Bruins ended up losing the heartbreaking game against the Hurricanes in 09 when they lost in Game 7, I stumbled over to one of the bars in Canal Street, and I saw you sitting there. And I was like, you know what? I loved 52. I'm going to bother him for a photo. And you couldn't have been nicer. And I took that photo and I have it somewhere. So
I love hearing that, buddy.
Yeah.
That's very. I was listening to you, that story on the way in. And I'm thinking, you know what? It doesn't take. You have that kind of experience with one superstar. You tell about it, you know, 100 people, and you tell all the people today. So, my old man, my dad, Ted Sr., always said, look, son, you know, you always be good to the fans when they come up to you. And so I appreciate you telling me that story.
Oh, I always remember that.
I wasn't an a-hole.
I was like, Ted was so great. And he was, he was
just a regular guy, man.
Mad about the Bruins like I was. Yeah. So, no, that was great. I appreciated that. All right. Hook and Ted Johnson coming up next. You want to get on with them? 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy Memorial Day. See you.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. People, great service since 1928.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.